Some time ago, I was praying about this Advent season, and I was just, there's so many ideas, and this being the final Advent series that I'll be preaching at Woodland, I really wanted it to be special. And I went back through the years of all of the Christmas messages that I prepared and preached. I went back into my journal looking at things that people had said to me or emails that I had received. And I remember being at Kate's kitchen with a man from our church, and I was sharing with him my notes for my first Christmas Eve message. And for that Christmas Eve service, the board had told me, says, if you want to do it, but nobody's coming. People just don't do that up here. And I said, well, we're going to try it, and if it works, it works, and if not, then my family and I are going to take communion together. But I expect you to be here. And they were all here, God bless their hearts, and so were a bunch of other people who came to worship with us on our very first Christmas Eve service. And so God has always done something powerful and wonderful at Woodland during Christmas. This is a time that when you invite people, they're more than likely to come to church with you. I will have Muslim friends, I will have Jewish friends, I will have secular friends that are coming to worship with us during this season. And you and I need to just kind of set ourselves before the Lord and saying, God, the salvation of lost people means more to us than the food and the nutrition for this day. You and I need to shut ourselves in alone with the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, make me sensitive to you so I can be sensitive to those that don't even know they need you yet. And yet, when they hear the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is like a seed that is planted in them and begins to grow and open their eyes. Because I can tell you that there are people that you know that their marriage is struggling. I can tell you that you are people that you know they're having struggles with their teenagers. I can tell you there are people that you know they are struggling with their health. And I can also tell you that there are people that you know they're struggling with depression during this Christmas season because there's a loved one that's no longer with them. There's someone they've spent all the holidays with for years, decades, and now they're not sure how they're going to celebrate the holidays because that loved one is not with them. And what they need to know more than anything else is what the Bible says over and over and over again. The Lord is near. Will you say that with me? The Lord is near. Say it again. The Lord is near. Now say it with some conviction. The Lord is near. Look at your neighbor this morning and tell them, the Lord is near. I did not hear conviction in that. I was just like, I'm going to do it because Pastor said so. Say it with some faith in your words as well, would you? The Lord is near. You didn't look at your neighbor, so do it one more time. Now you're smiling, you're grinning, you're hoping I won't ask you to do that again. Yes, he is. Stand with me out of respect for the word of the Lord. I want to talk to you about how to make room for faith this year at Christmas time. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him. How many of you would like for that to happen to you this morning? Just may the Holy Spirit fall upon us all today. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. And he took the child in his arms. He praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations or to the Gentiles. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. And he is the glory of your people, Israel. And Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, were amazed what was being said about the baby Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you rest upon me? Would you rest upon this congregation? Father, upon our online congregation this morning. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would stretch our hearts and make room for great faith. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, as I read this passage, I love the fact that this passage tells me that Simeon was dependable. Don't you love dependable people? Wives, don't you love dependable husbands? That's a good time to say amen right there, ladies. Men, don't you love dependable wives? And don't you love the miracle of all miracles, dependable teenagers? I mean, just think about a teenager that will do what they say they will do, will be home on time when they say they will be home, will get their homework done early. Is there any such thing this side of heaven? I've met a few, I really have. We love dependability. And the faithfulness of Simeon stands out because during this time, if you read the Christmas story, it's pretty much a faithless time. When the announcement comes, there are people that don't believe. Joseph doesn't believe Mary. Mary's kind of astounded and says, how can this be? It's not a question of doubt. It's just, God, how are you going to do this? When Jesus is born, the priests, though they know what the word says and they're wise men looking for Jesus, they don't even bother to go look themselves. So to meet someone like Simeon, who is dependable and full of faith, that's an absolutely amazing thing. The Bible tells us that he was righteous and devout. That was not only a way of telling us that he was a godly man, it was a way of telling us he was a dependable man. He was an elder amongst the people. Some believe he might have even been a part of the Sanhedrin. He was an elderly man, but there was a dignity about him because he was a man full of faith and he was a man full of dependability. There's something about faith that increases the dignity in your life. He had walked with God, and because he had walked with God, he's known as a wise man. He's an elder. And the reason he was wise is because he was looking towards the future. That phrase where it says that he was eagerly anticipating, he was righteous and devout, tells us so much about him. In Christianity Today, I love this quote by J.K. Rowling, by the way, the author of the Harry Potter books. She said these words, "It is our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities." It is our choices that reveal what we truly are, far more than our talents and far more than our skills. And let me add this, not in afterthought, but as I was knowing what was going to happen this morning, you heard so much about Pastor Mark Warda's skills. You heard about Pastor Mark Warda's talents. But you need to know Mark and Kyra are golden when it comes to integrity. You need to know that what you see in their lives is because of the kind of character they have. You see, character is formed. Your character, my character, is formed and shaped by the choices we make, especially those choices that we make to obey God. Simeon's outlook on life was something I want you to look at as well, because he had a positive outlook. Simeon was expecting the best, and the reason he expected the best was because he served the Lord of hosts. There's an interesting word there used, the Greek word is prodeskamai. I'm not even sure I say that correctly. I've tried and practiced it all week, but my Southern and the way my Greek translator works, they're not in sync with one another. But prodeskamai means to welcome with hope, to welcome the future, to welcome a friend. So if Andy and Ashley were coming to our house for dinner, Becky would be preparing dinner and we would be welcoming them, hoping and looking forward to that day that they would come and sit at our table and join us. We have some guests coming tonight. We are prodeskamai. We are positive. We are looking forward to it. By the way, I have tasted the menu. I am the official taste tester. It is incredible. You know, I am prodeskamai, even as I am preaching to you this morning. I'm expecting the best. It says he was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come. That phrase, eagerly waiting, that's that Greek word, prodeskamai. Simeon did not let his age, he did not let the fact that he was getting older, he did not let that cloud his future, he did not let that dim his outlook on the future, he did not cause that to become become a doubter, but even in his old age, he lived with active expectation. And the reason I ask you to fast and pray this morning with me for December the 26th when I have this next surgery is I am prodeskamai about that surgery. I am believing that God is going to do a miracle and that the future chains that they have told me are going to be there are going to be broken because God is in the business of breaking chains and removing yokes. Can you say amen this morning? Hallelujah. You see, prodeskamai, eagerly awaiting, it lifts your spirit, it boosts your faith. You say, well, Pastor, I want to be like that. I want to live like that. How do I do that? Well, I would say, number one, remove your doubts. Choose to start believing your faith and doubt your doubts. Doubt clouds your thinking. Doubt dims your outlook on the future. Doubt frightens you. Doubt will cause you to freeze and get stuck in life and think it will never be any different. Secondly, redirect your will. Begin to think and to meditate upon the scriptures. Begin to say what God says, and then your emotions will follow. I haven't shared this with you in a long time, but we have positive people at this church. If you've never visited Woodland, please come and visit. There you will meet some of the best and happiest people in the world. I was telling my wife that what I did, a little thought experiment I did in the foyer one day, it was packed. And I just turned around and I said, hey, beautiful. And all of these women turned around and said, yes, yes. What positive people we have in this church. You see, when you think right, your emotions will follow. When you think right, you will begin to make better decisions. When you confess God's word and you believe God's word, you will make good decisions. Read your Bible daily. Renew your confession of faith and say what God has said about you. The Barna Research Group said this, 82% of regular Bible readers describe themselves as at peace. 78% of regular Bible readers said they felt happy all or most of the time. 68% of regular Bible readers said they were full of joy. How many of you would agree with that this morning? Say amen. Amen. Something about reading the Word of the Lord builds our faith and our expectation. It's God's bread for our lives. Thirdly, this morning, I would say Simeon depended upon the Holy Spirit. He depended not upon his wisdom. He depended not upon his education. He depended not upon the fact of his social position. We know these things must have been true about Simeon for him to have been known, for him to have been honored the way that he was, for Mary and Joseph to have surrendered their baby into his arms, this elderly man. And if we're not careful, there are many times that we will begin to rely upon our education. We'll begin to rely upon our organization, our structure. We'll begin to rely upon our finances. And somehow or another, we don't consciously realize it because we know that our education and our mind is a gift from God. We know that our church is a gift from God. We know that our structure, we know that our finances. But then we depend upon that rather than depending upon the Lord. And God has a way of when we stop depending upon him, and I was reading this last night during our prayer service, that he will withhold the rain, he will allow pestilence to come to humble us so that once again we begin to seek him. We begin to seek his ways. And then he follows up with that famous passage that everybody knows, but no one thinks about the passage that comes before. He says, and then, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I heal their land. Now, you need to understand, that's not talking about the Muslims, that's not talking about the Hindus, that's not talking about the Buddhists, that's not talking about the humanists, that's not talking about the secularists. That's talking about the people of God, the new Israel of God, the church, the living body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that I admire about Simeon is his absolute dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the fact that the Holy Spirit was upon him is directly connected to the fact that he was a godly man. He was a righteous man. He was a devout man. They were in the temple where the sacrifices were being presented to the Lord. Some of the sacrifices were for sin. Some of the sacrifices were thanksgiving. Some of the sacrifices were for fellowship and so on. But they knew they had to prepare their hearts as well as their sacrifice. God didn't honor a sacrifice that was given just as rote or just as ritual. God wanted clean hands, a pure heart, a grateful heart, a thankful heart. And so he's in the very temple. He's depending upon the Holy Spirit. And so he must have been a man, not a perfect man, but a man with a pure heart. God never calls for us to have a perfect heart. He calls for us to have a pure heart. I will never be perfect. That's no surprise to you because I've been your pastor for so long. But guess what? You're not a perfect church either. And the people who think they're perfect, they don't stick around very long. It's like one lady who called me one Sunday, and y'all had laughed a lot. I had laughed a lot, and she called me to say, I just want you to know, I don't think I could worship at a church where people laugh as much as they did at your church yesterday. I thought to myself, though I didn't say it, good. Good. You go to the first church of the vinegar jar. Bunch of sourpusses who think they're better than everybody else. He didn't have a perfect heart. He had a pure heart. A heart that's longing after God. A heart that knows that it's a sinner. A heart that can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Who doesn't mind praying every day what Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's a pure heart. You see, people who are in touch with God's Spirit, they are filled with prodeskamai. The Holy Spirit was upon him. And the way that you look forward to the future is not because your hope is in education or money or politics or anything else. You are prodeskamai. You have a positive outlook on the future. You are looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. He came once. He's coming again. God is still in control. Can you say amen this morning? Fourthly, Simeon was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit not only rested upon him, he was sensitive to the guidance, the leadership, and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's interesting, now just kind of track with me. Like Simeon, don't miss this, like Simeon, if you will depend upon the Holy Spirit, you will show up at the right time. You will show up at the right place. You will meet the right family. And you will encounter Jesus. When you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, the right time, Jesus is going to be circumcised according to the law. Nobody knew about this peasant family. Nobody knew about this baby. Jesus, remember, it was a faithless time. But Simeon, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, went to the temple, not on a Sabbath, but on the eighth day. He showed up at the place where the sacrifices were being made that I just told you about, because he would meet the one that would be the sacrifice for the sins of all humanity that would put their faith in him. He met the right family, the family that Jesus, that God identified and said, here I found a woman, not with a perfect heart, but a pure heart. Here I found a man that doesn't have a perfect heart. We saw that really clearly when he decided to put away Mary. But instead, the Lord showed up in his dreams and says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their their sins. He not only met the right family, but he held the one who would hold him in his arms. He held Jesus, who holds you and me, and he holds the whole world together today. By him and through him, all things exist. Imagine the joy of being able to hold your Savior. This is what happens when you're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. I was reading a book not too long ago by David Hansen called The Art of Pastoring. And in that book, I was just kind of taken with the way he wrote about being a pastor. And I found myself so many times getting on my knees and praying, God, make me a better pastor. Lord Jesus, work in my heart. But he talked about in that book, he talked about how birds of prey, like geese and ducks, they have to flap their wings to get enough lift and to get going. I said birds of prey, but the birds that are eaten, I forget the word he used there, the birds that are eaten. But the birds of prey, the raptors, they catch the thermals. They don't have to expend any energy. And they rise up into the heavens. And they can look down and they see that goose or that duck or whatever it is they want to eat. And that eagle or that osprey looks down and says, huh, Duck LaRange. And it begins a dive and it begins speeding toward the ground. And it captures that duck and it tears it apart and it has a delicious meal. Now, don't feel sorry for the duck, because you know you're going to love yourself some fried chicken today. He takes that example of the bird that is consumed, comparing it to the bird that does the consuming. And he says, the Spirit lifts. The Spirit gives vision, direction, and power. Ministry is riding on the free winds of the Spirit that lift us to heights we cannot climb on our own. We can't stay in the air very long on our own strength, but we can seek thermals. Our soul wings are made large that we might catch the Holy Spirit. You remember the song, He Lifts Me Up? You remember how God has lifted you up before? You don't know how you did it, but you found yourself soaring. You found yourself rising to the heights because the Holy Spirit led you. The Holy Spirit touched you. And family, hear me this morning. We must cultivate sensitive hearts if we want to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. My wife is one of the most sensitive people that I know. And I don't mean sensitive in a negative way that you can easily slight her unless you give her copper-clad cookware for Christmas. But so many times she has said to me, honey, you need to check on this one, or honey, you need to make this call. And I'll go, really? She goes, trust me. And every time she's been proven to be right, because she's so sensitive to the hurts and the needs and the interests of other people. You see, one of the opportunities, if you'll fast and pray with me for our Christmas Eve services, for this surgery, if you'll say, Lord, for this day or for this meal, my lost friends, Pastor's miracle, that means more to me than a steak or a hamburger. You'll develop a sensitivity to what God wants. Because if you wait upon the Lord, He will lift you up. And then fifthly this morning, Simeon lived a fulfilled life. If I die today, you tell everybody, Pastor Clanton lived a fulfilled life. I've had a wonderful life. I'm enjoying it. I look forward to even more life. But I will tell you this, I have lived a life larger than I ever dreamed I would live. Robert J. Morgan, who I read a lot behind, Robert said, God didn't call me to find fulfillment in the quantity of my work for Him, but in the quality of my walk with Him. Read that out loud with me, because I don't want you to forget this. God did not call me to find fulfillment in the quantity of my work for Him, but in the quality of my walk with Him. I believe that. It's not the art and the skills of pastoring or whatever you do. It's in our walk, our daily walk with Jesus Christ. That walk for me that began as a teenager, that walk of cultivating that sense of His presence and wanting to know Him. Don't laugh. Please don't laugh. But when I gave my heart to Jesus at 16, somebody called me this week and says, "Pastor, tell me how you gave your heart to Christ." So I went over the story with them and I thought, I should share this Sunday morning. I was bitter. I was angry. I had so many physical issues and so many limitations. I said some things about God that should never pass by anybody's lips. And my sweet, sensitive sister one morning just pled over me and prayed over me and talked with me, and all through the day I couldn't get away from it. And that night on January the 18th, 1972, by myself, I knelt down and gave my heart to Jesus Christ because He changed me. I wanted to learn how to pray. I wanted to learn how to read the Bible. So I would shut the door to my room and I would turn on my record player really quiet. And I would take albums out of my mom and dad's stereo cabinet of hymns and gospel songs. I would let them play while I prayed and read my Bible. And I discovered, listen to me, I discovered something at 16, that when I talked to the Lord, God would talk to me. I never heard an audible voice, but I knew what to do. I knew how to make decisions. As I read His Word, the Word became alive. And a conviction gripped my heart that has shaped my life ever since, and that was to acknowledge His call upon my life to the ministry. And when I shared that, I was told by my pastor, I was told by people I respected, "Denny, you're too sick. Denny, you don't have the lungs for it. Denny, you don't have the diaphragm. God would never call you to ministry. Son, this is just emotional. Go be a lawyer. Go be this. Go be..." I had a full ride to the University of Georgia at 16 years of age already. Books, scholarship, living expenses, tuition, everything. I would have made money going to college. But I knew that God had called me. And here I am at 70 years old. I am more excited about Jesus than ever before. But a decision was made at 16 years of age. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And will you make quality decisions when you're young? It will affect the outcome of your life to do bigger and better things than you ever thought God would use you for. I promise you that. I promise you that. You make good decisions today, and it will change your future for tomorrow. The quality of my walk with Him. The Bible says Simeon took the child in his arms, praising God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and He is the glory of your people Israel." I want you to know this. A fulfilled life is a Christ-centered life. A fulfilled life is a Christ-centered life. Jesus at the center of it all. It's not just a song we sing. It's how we live. Would you look at your neighbor and say, a fulfilled life is a Christ-centered life. Ryan, a fulfilled life is a Christ-centered life. Look at your growth work with me this morning, if you would. I want you to make room for faith this Christmas. Advent is all about preparing our hearts for the coming of the Messiah. Evidently, Simeon was prepared. He was not only dependent upon the Holy Spirit and sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he was not only a godly man, a devout man, he was an old man. He had seen revolutions come and go. Look at me. Look at me. He had seen revolutions come and go. He had seen the Romans conquer and desecrate the temple. He knew things that others might not know because if he was a member of the Sanhedrin. And it would have been real easy for him to grow old and bitter. But because he was prodeskamai, he became old and better. And God wants you to have that same outlook on the future. And you can have that because you know the Lord is near. The Lord is near. He's as near as the confession of your mouth. He's as near as the prayer of your heart. He's as near as the moment you lift your hands in worship. He's as near as you submit to his will. The Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse 23, the church is his body. We are the body of Christ. We each have a role to play. It is made full and complete. Look at that. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Jesus fills all things. You say, how does he do it? By his Holy Spirit. He comes and dwells in our hearts by faith. John, the beloved apostle, would write this. He said, God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now look at me. That's an unbeatable life right there. If you worship him in spirit and in truth, that's an unbeatable life. What is it in the movies that the plot always builds around? The politicians are afraid for the people to know. And so they cover up the truth. And they're very enthusiastic about the future. They're very enthusiastic about the plan. But eventually the truth comes out. And what has been my experience, though the truth may be painful, people would much rather have the truth, because eventually the truth will set you free. The truth is, I am a sinner. I needed Jesus. I still need Jesus. I still sin. I'm not sinless. You see, the truth will always win. But when you worship him in spirit and truth, you are unbeatable. That's why the Bible says you've been made more than conquerors. Spirit and truth. So come to him this morning with a sincere heart, not a perfect heart. Come to him with a sincere heart. This is, God, I need you more than anything. Rely on the Holy Spirit to help you. He is so near. He will lead you. He will guide you. Determine today, I want to encourage others. Let them know when you see Jesus in them. Oh, I appreciate Pastor Mark and Kyra's skill sets, but I love their hearts so much better. Now, if you're going to work on my car, I want you to have a skill set. Be nice if you have a good heart. The guy that's going to cut me open in just a few days, I want him to have a good skill set. But I have been praying for his heart. And you know what's interesting? And my wife will tell you this. My brother-in-law will tell you this. Every time I go in the hospital, and this will be my 47th major surgery, my 47th, it's amazing how many doctors and nurses and staff that ask me to pray with them. You see, the Holy Spirit in you will touch their hearts. Be an encourager. Be committed to God's will for your life. There may be things you want. There may be ideas that you have, but they're in conflict with God's will for your life. Now, God works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. But sometimes we have an idea or something we want to do. I've been offered things, you have been offered things that I know would have taken me out of the will of God for my life at that time. So you've got to be committed to the will of God. Oh God, I don't want to get up and go to church today. But the Holy Spirit is saying to Simeon, I know you're old, Simeon. I know your knees creak. I know your back isn't as straight as you want it to be. God bless your heart. I feel that way sometimes when I listen to myself. I'm so... Moving on. Trust God's timing. Trust the timing of the Holy Spirit. Stop it, Don. And then receive the blessing of God that He has for your life. Can you imagine how thrilled Simeon must have been when he says, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace." I have preached several funerals lately. In every one of those funerals that I preached, I stood at that graveside. And I know that this person departed in peace because they were prodeskamai. They were prodeskamai. Jesus was Lord of their life, and death held no fear to them. And they woke up, not holding Jesus, but Jesus holding them. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. You are great, and you are worthy to be praised. O Holy Spirit of God, I ask you, rest upon us right now. Give us hearts that are prodeskamai, eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eagerly awaiting the day when He shall come with the sound of the trumpet. And all of those who have died in faith, and we which are alive and remain, shall rise up in the air to meet them, and thus we shall never be with the Lord. Give us prodeskamai, Lord. Rest upon hearts here and online that may have never yet, God, made room for faith in their hearts. God, they may be prodeskamai this morning, but Jesus, you said if they're building upon anything else than yourself, your word, they're building upon sand. And so, Lord, for their benefit, I pray, even as I'm talking to you, warn them, Lord. Warn them, the storms will come. And that which is built upon sand will fall, but that which is built upon Christ will stand. Give the prodeskamai in Christ. Give them an eager anticipation for the future, for today in you. And Lord, may our faith not be a decision that was made so many years ago, but may it be a decision that we're ever sensitive to your Holy Spirit. So this morning, I want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Him. I want you to love Him. I want you to trust Him. I want to introduce you to Him this morning so that you can say what so many others have said, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready. You can say with Simeon, now I'm ready. When I'm ready for Sunday, I'm prodeskamai. When I'm ready for a meeting, I'm prodeskamai. When I'm ready for Andy and Ashley to come to our house, I'm prodeskamai. And I am prodeskamai for December 26. But when the time comes that I close my eyes and this body quits working, I will be prodeskamai, eagerly awaiting the face of my Savior. If you can't say that, would you pray this prayer with me right now? Heavenly Father, I have been eager for all the wrong things. I have built my life on sand. I have fallen time and time again. But this morning, I'm making room in my heart to put my faith in you. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life and be my Lord. I trust you, Jesus. So as much as I know how this morning, I say yes to you. And if you prayed that, no one's looking around but just me, would you lift up your hand and say, Pastor, I just prayed that with you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? Yes, Pastor. I'm praying that with you today. If you're here today, God bless you, ma'am. God bless you. If you're here today and you go, Pastor, I made a decision long ago, but there is no eagerness in my heart. I'm not hopeful about the future, but this morning, I'm renewing my commitment to Christ. I'm not depending on structure, organization, finances. I've made room in my heart for faith in Jesus. Pray for me this week. Would you lift up your hand all over the building? Yeah. It happens if we're not careful. Would you look up this way then? Can we give the Lord a hand of praise for several who committed their hearts to Christ? May God the Father prepare you for the future. May the Lord Jesus Christ guide your steps. May the Holy Spirit rest upon you. And may you go out of this place knowing that the Lord is near, so that everyone will ask you, why are you prodeskamai? God bless you. Go in peace this morning.